The Lord is good and all the time. The Lord is good and all the time. I was told a while ago that while I was whispering something in the vestry, I was on the microphone, so you heard everything. Good morning to you all, and a very warm welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. We want to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. And we want to congratulate Gilead and Daniel, who played football in the course of the week. They played against Monifit, and they won a cup. So we are proud of these guys. I don't know all the details about that cup, but they won a cup. And they got home with medals. I watched the match. Unfortunately, Marcus was not able to watch, but we were there with the rest of the family. After the service, we will have our teas and coffees at our church hall, and all are welcome to join. We want also to acknowledge with us those who are worshiping via Zoom and those who will be listening from our website afterwards. Let us now take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, is 519. Let us pray. Gracious and mighty God, we come before you with reverence and gratitude, drawn by the joy of your salvation and the hope of your promises. As your people gather, we remember your word, "Surely God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid." You, O Lord, have been our strength and our song. You have become our salvation. And yet, as we draw near, we also acknowledge the ways we have failed you. We confess the sins of our hearts, our pride, our indifference, our disobedience. We have turned to our own ways and trusted in our own strength. We have neglected to proclaim your name, to make known among the nations what you have done. But you are a God who forgives, who turns anger into comfort and judgment into mercy. So we come to the wells of your grace with repentance and hope. Cleanse us, renew us, and restore our joy in you. Let your spirit move among us. Let our worship rise as a testimony to your faithfulness. May we draw water with joy from the springs of your salvation and with one voice declare, "Great is the Holy One of Israel among us." We pray through Christ, our Savior, who taught us always to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." One more step along the world I go, 530. Good morning, children. How are you today? Are you all good? Are you enjoying the sunshine? Is it too hot? Is it too hot? No, it isn't. I thought it was. It felt hotter one of these days, as hot as Cameroon. Let's begin our children's address this morning with a few questions. If you have ever really seen some nice food, something that was nice looking, and you thought, oh, yummy, I really like this. And then when you tasted it, it was weird. Have you had that experience? Anyone? You remember? What was that? Okay. Zara made broccoli and cheese. What? Macaroni and cheese. And Ariel thought it was so nice. But when she tasted it, it was yucky. What an example. Any other idea? Now, I think there is one which can be very simple. Have you maybe seen a cookie? And then you thought, oh, that was really nice. And there was something on it. You felt it was chocolate chips. And then when you tasted it, you found there were raisins. Again, sometimes you may be in school and other children are playing a game. And you are like, oh, I would like really to join this game. Without even thinking, you just join them. And after some time, I don't think I really like to play this game. So there are times when we engage with something, we really want to do something, then we realize that it is not as easy as we thought. A similar thing like that happened in the Bible, and it happens every day in our lives. There were people who were following Jesus Christ. They liked the miracles that he was making or performing. And then one day he told them things that they did not like. He said, it was not easy to come after me or to follow the things I was saying. Discipleship or following Jesus is not easy. There will be difficulties on the way. It's not just about miracles. And some of them say, ah, we thought that it would be very easy with you. And what did they do? They started going away. And so he called his 12 disciples and asked them whether they also wanted to go away. The lesson we learn from this is that even though we come to church every day, it is not very easy. Church is, I know when you go to Sunday school, you usually have some food, true or false? You usually have snacks, right? You drink sweet drinks, sometimes you have biscuits. And I've been thinking whether I shouldn't join Sunday school so that I can also eat with you. But the church is not about eating and drinking. The church is about following Jesus and accepting and doing the things that he has asked us to do and not doing the things that he doesn't want. So when we come to church, we must remember that it will be hard. Sometimes in school, people will mock us. They will laugh at us. They'll say, why do you go to church? Those are the difficult things about the church. But then, because we know that Jesus loves us, and that's why we come to worship him and to thank him, we must keep doing what he has called us to do and not turn away and leave the church. So let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this morning, and we thank you for our children. We are grateful for their hearts, and we thank you that they are being formed in the ways of Christ. Father, there are challenges that will come in school, at home, wherever they are. We pray that their faith will stand up to that and you will continue to lead them by your hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, is Junior Praise 98.
I have decided. Our New Testament reading this morning can be found in the Gospel of John. John chapter 6, verses 66. Oh no, that's the wrong one. First reading this morning comes from Isaiah. Chapter 12, reading from the beginning. If you're using the Pew Bibles, it can be found on page 697. Listen for the word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. In that day I will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. And our New Testament reading can still be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 66 to 69. And this can be found on page 1071 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus has just taught in the synagogue in Capernaum, and he'd made his birthright and his mission clear, and the scribes and the Pharisees had attacked him. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Amen. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. We continue our worship by singing together hymn 533, Will You Come and Follow Me?
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, you are our salvation, our strength, and our song. As we turn now to your word, we ask that you pour out your Spirit upon us. May we not only hear but be transformed. May we trust and not be afraid, knowing that the Holy One is in our midst. Through Christ, the living word, we pray. Amen. My theme for this morning's sermon is, to whom shall we go? The question asked by the Apostle Peter, to whom shall we go? Now, before I dive into this morning's sermon, let me begin with a confession. In the Roman Catholic Church, church members go to the Catholic priest to confess their sins, but let me do the reverse this morning. I may be here with you now in Newport on Tay, but my mind is beginning to drift. Not theologically, I promise, but meteorologically. Because in just a few days, I will be stepping off a plane into the sunny, shimmering warmth of the United Arab Emirates to meet family and fellow Cameroonians, and to explore some historical sites and desert sands with sunscreen firmly in hand. So if this sermon seems a bit warm, I am just preparing for Dubai. But let us begin today not in the sun, but in the swell of questions that people, all people, wrestle with. Questions about leadership, identity, belonging, faith, and purpose. Let me ask you, have you ever stood at a fork in the road, looked at two options, and thought, to whom shall I go? Perhaps it was a career choice. Maybe it was during grief. Where do I turn now? Or in moments of crisis, a diagnosis, a betrayal, a failure. Or in the politics of our time, where truth feels like it is on holiday and spin seems to be the only thing in season. G.K. Chesterton once wrote, "When people stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything." And that, my friends, is why John 6 is so important. Because here Jesus confronts the crowd and his closest disciples with a question that pierces through every generation, every doubt, every election, every escape plan. Do you want to go away too? This passage is not just about ancient Galileans. It is about you. It is about me. It is about leadership and loyalty. It is about temptation and truth. The scene in John 6 is quite dramatic. Jesus had just fed 5,000, a miracle so impressive that the people were ready to crown him king by force. But then Jesus started talking about himself as the bread of life. He did not mean just figuratively. He started talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, spiritual language that even the devout found disturbing. And then verse 66 hits like a gut punch. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. They turned back and no longer walked with him. It was not the miracle that offended them, it was the meaning. And don't we still see this today? People are happy to follow Jesus when the loaves are warm, when the blessings flow, when the healing is quick. But what about when his words confront our comfort? When his commands challenge our values? When he asks not just for our Sunday morning, but our whole lives? Even the 12 are shaken. So Jesus Christ turns to them, eyes filled with both sadness and fire, and says, "Do you want to go away as well?" It must have been a poignant moment. And Simon Peter, bless him, blurts out the only answer a disciple can give when faith has been tried and found true. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter does not say he understands everything. He does not pretend that teaching is easy, but he knows this. No alternative to Jesus leads to life and life in its fullness. This is not passive resignation. It is definite commitment. In the 4th century, a young bishop named Athanasius stood against the tide of popular opinion and imperial pressure. A movement had arisen, Arianism, that denied the full divinity of Christ. It was politically popular, theologically convenient, and widely accepted. But Athanasius, holding firm to the truth that Jesus is the Holy One of God, fully divine, would not bend. He was exiled 5 times, haunted, harassed, and mocked. Yet the saying arose, Athanasius contra mundum, meaning Athanasius against the world, and his legacy helped preserve the heart of Christian doctrine. Why? Because he believed, like Peter, that there was nowhere else to go. So what about us? In a world that offers countless opinions, spiritual pick and mix, political messiahs, self-help gurus, can we still say with confidence, "Jesus, you alone have the words of eternal life"? Now, for a moment, let us zoom out to our world in 2025. War in Ukraine grinds on. Tensions in the Middle East remain high. Families are divided over ideology. The economy is fragile. The cost of living pressures rise. Artificial intelligence changes how we work and relate. Anxiety is growing. Churches in the West are shrinking, while churches in the global South are rising. And right here in our congregation, in our town, people are navigating personal storms, griefs, losses, medical diagnosis, loneliness, and in some cases, job uncertainty. And yes, even the church is not immune to the challenges of leadership, disappointment, or division. But this is why Peter's confession and Isaiah's vision still matter. Peter says, "We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God, not just intellectually, but experientially, in the trenches of life, in the heartbreaks and hallelujahs, in the Mondays after funerals." And Isaiah 12 offers us the application, the invitation. "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation." Isaiah tells the people not just what to believe, but how to live. "Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world." Isaiah 12, verse 5. That is the call for the church in uncertain times. Not to retreat, not to sulk, not to speculate endlessly about doom, but to sing, to share, and to shine, because Jesus Christ is still our King. And this gospel, the news that Jesus is Lord, that his words bring eternal life, and that he is the Holy One of God, this gospel is not just our past or our future. It is our present anchor. In 1981, a quiet janitor at a Catholic seminary in St. Louis named Dan Schulte was asked to write a hymn for the ordination of deacons. He had only days to prepare. No thunder cracked, no choir burst forth. Just a man with a piano, scripture open, trying to listen. He turned to Isaiah, to the call of Samuel, to the sending of prophets, and what came forth unexpectedly was, "I, the Lord of sea and sky." He did not think it would last, but something about it stirred people. A song of calling, a song of surrender, a song that asks not what the world owes us, but what God is asking of us. "I will go, Lord, if you lead me." This is no sentimental ballad. This is Isaiah in the temple crying, "Here I am, send me." This is the church saying, despite fear, despite fatigue, "Yes, Lord." This is the sound of discipleship. So as I prepare to enter the desert of the UAE, literally, I think of the spiritual desert many of us walk through daily. But friends, we are not lost in the sand. We are not wandering aimlessly. We are pilgrims. We are prophets. We are the called out people of God. And God, oh yes, God still speaks. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, "Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, sing praises, for he has done gloriously." There is water in this desert. There is a table in this wilderness, not built by human hands, but set by the King of heaven. To whom shall we go? Not to nostalgia, not to nationalism, not to Netflix or numbing out, not even to noble leaders who, like Moses, stop at the threshold. No, we go with Jesus. Only Jesus walks the way, the whole way, from cross to resurrection, from valley to city, from dry land to living water. So, Church of Newport-on-Tay, stand firm, walk humbly, love boldly. Be a people shaped not by fear, but by the gospel, not arrogant, not withdrawn, but rooted in the joy of the one who holds your story, your salvation, and your tomorrow. The Lord of sea and sky is still calling, still asking, "Whom shall I send?" Still waiting for a church to rise and say, "Here I am, Lord." And may that be us. Amen. Let us pray. Yes, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Thank you for your word and thank you for your call. Make us ready, O Father, to answer, "Here I am, Lord." Amen. Our next hymn, 251, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
I'm not afraid to die.
Let us pray. God of eternal life and unshakable truth, we have heard your call through the voice of Scripture, through the witness of Peter, and through the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so today we echo his confession, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We dedicate ourselves afresh to you, not because the road is easy, but because you are faithful. Not because we understand everything, but because we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Take our hearts, our hands, our voices, all that we are and all that we bring. May our lives be shaped by the gospel, our steps guided by your Spirit, and our service marked by your love. In a world of shifting truths and fleeting comforts, anchor us in the joy of your salvation. Send us, Lord, wherever you will, into deserts and cities, homes and hospitals, classrooms and streets, to shine with the light of Christ. Here we are, Lord. We go with you. Lord Jesus, you alone have the words of eternal life, and so with trust in your mercy and confidence in your love, we bring before you the prayers of your people. We pray for the church, local and global. Strengthen all who follow you in faith. In places where churches are shrinking, breathe renewal. In regions where churches are growing, grant wisdom and unity. Empower leaders to teach truth with love and congregations to live boldly for the gospel. We pray for the world in turmoil, for peace in Ukraine, justice in the Middle East, stability in Cameroon and in every place where conflict, fear, and suffering prevail. Raise up peacemakers, strengthen aid workers, diplomats, and all who labor for reconciliation. Let your kingdom come, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for our own communities. You see every tear and every joy. We lift before you those burdened by grief, those facing medical diagnosis, those navigating job loss, loneliness, or uncertainty. Bring healing, hope, and companionship. We pray for the leaders of our town, our nation, and this church. Grant humility, courage, and charity and clarity. May we not be swayed by popularity, but guided by your Spirit of truth. And now we pray for ourselves. When the way is hard and questions arise, remind us that you are near. Give us the faith of Peter to say, even in doubt or struggle, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We pray for those who are unwell, that, Father, you will heal them. For those suffering from anxiety, that you will bring peace and calmness to their weary souls. Shape us into a people of trust and joy, drawing water from the wells of salvation, singing your praise in the desert and the valleys. All this we pray in the strong and tender name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn is, When We Walk With the Lord in the Light of His Word. The words are printed on the order of service, but it's Mission Praise 760. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.